With the ringing of that school bell, we want to continue our studies in the Warren County Radio Bible School. I hope you have your Bible handy, and we'll turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 37, and we're looking down from verse 37 down through verse 42 in a study of the power of the early church. And in a previous class, we have been spending time on Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39, where Peter said unto them, "Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him." And we're going to be looking at this beginning in verse 40 of the latter part of 39, and in verse 40, where it says, "With many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. Then they that received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers." We're studying this text from a Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of December the 2nd, 1923. And so we'll be getting into that study in just a moment. You're turning in your Bible to Acts chapter 2 and preparing to be a student in this class. I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at what we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, where it says, "With many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Peter continued with many other words to testify and exhort. To testify was to bear witness to Jesus and to prove that he was both Lord and Christ. And to exhort was to persuade people to accept him as such. "Save yourselves," Peter said. The Holy Spirit and the apostles understood then that people could, in some manner, save themselves. Now, they could not save themselves by themselves, but it calls on the fact that there has to be some kind of response of man to God's grace for man to be saved. He who speaks against people doing anything to be saved speaks against the Bible. People cannot do anything that will merit or procure or provide salvation. They cannot forgive their own sins. God does this through Jesus. Paul explained exactly how people save themselves. Read it in Philippians 2, 12 through 13. "So then, my beloved, even as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now also much more in my absence, work out your own salvation," that is, by continuing to obey God, "with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So the people addressed by Peter could save themselves by doing what God commanded. In this sense alone can people save themselves. But this they can do and must do if they would be saved. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. Save yourselves Peter said, from this crooked generation. And the idea that the generation was crooked means that it was weakening. And what is the results? Well, we read back in Acts chapter 2, 41. Then they that received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. All who gladly received the word of God, our terms of pardon, were baptized. Those who did not gladly receive God's word were not baptized. And so today, those who believe in Jesus and trust God and gladly receive the word of God as gladly obey him in being baptized. And those who do not gladly receive his word are those who are not baptized. It says, and there were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. The word souls there means persons. About 3,000 persons, individuals, unique and known of God. They were added that day, and not at some infinite future time, since there was then one church, the church of God, or the church of Christ. They were not left by the apostles to join some church of their choice. They were added by virtue of their obedience unto God and in becoming his children. This is given no form or ceremony by adding to this something that they must do to join the church. Being saved or becoming God's children constituted them a part of the church or numbered them among the called out ones. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 says, and the Lord added to them day by day those that were being saved. Or as the margin reading in the American Standard Version says, those who were being saved. This shows that the Lord adds people to his church. That not only he pardoned or saved, it's only the pardon or the saved that are added, and that he adds them as fast as he saves them. That which saves people adds them to the church. They were not converted or saved and then added at some indefinite time. Neither did they join the church of their choice when the meeting was over. It is the sheerest ignorance now which causes one to argue that there are no convenient places about Jerusalem for immersing so many people, or that so many could not have been immersed in so short a while. There were numerous large pools about Jerusalem quite suitable for this purpose. We read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, and in breaking bread and in prayers. The new disciples continued to learn from the apostles the will of God, and likewise continued to practice it. The fellowship was mutual joy, sympathy, and helpfulness in one another's success and triumphs and sufferings and wants and afflictions and sorrows. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, we read where they were admonished, rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 6, we read, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member is honored, all the members rejoice in it. Well, this fellowship is really a joint sharing. And here we talk about a joint sharing of needs and of supports. But there was also a joint sharing of their money, as we see, so that there was none that had need, but financially and physically, those who were in need were helped by others who had an abundance. And so they shared with one another their finances in fellowship of that early church. This embraces the contribution of money and means to relieve the distressed and to help the needy. And then it talks about the breaking of bread. It seems from the context of these things, all having to do with worship, that the breaking of bread here in Acts chapter 2 would refer to the Lord's Supper. And in fact, it is very specific in the original language. It is the breaking of the bread. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 26, 26 through 30. That's where it says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it. And he gave the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many into the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not henceforth drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Well, now the kingdom was established, and so the breaking of bread seems a clear reference to this Lord's Supper. We go on and read in another passage in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, about the practice of the early church, where it says, upon the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul discoursed with them, intending to depart on the morrow, and prolong his speech until midnight. Now they could eat a common meal any day of the week, but they came together on the first day of the week to break bread, a reference to the Lord's Supper. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a communion of the body of Christ? Seeing that we, who are many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of the one bread. And then it refers to the prayers. Prayers referring to the prayers in their meetings. This verse does not state a regular day or time for meeting for this purpose, but other passages do. In Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, they were gathered together to break bread, and Paul prolonged his speech till midnight. That's when they would come together. And 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 says, now concerning the collection of the saints, there's your fellowship. And I gave order to the churches of Galatia, so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store, as he may prosper, that no collections to be made when I come. And they were not to forsake this assembling of themselves together. In Hebrews chapter 10, 24, and verse 25, we read, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day drawing nigh. Thus, from the beginning, and even unto now, all Christians must continue in the worship of God. From this chapter, we learn how the Spirit influenced sinners and guided them to the remission of sins and added them to the church of Christ. So, through the inspired apostle, in the same way, the Spirit guides us today, guiding us through these very words. Now at that, this Sunday school lesson comes to a close. There is a little note right at the end of the lesson that is added. It's added as a stark reminder. It doesn't directly tie with this lesson, but it's a piece of poetry that is often understood and repeated about the consequences of rebelling God and of not obeying Him and of turning against Him. Here it is. Though the mills of God grind slowly, yet they grind exceeding small. Though with patience He stands waiting, with exactness grinds He all. You see, God's will is going to be done, and we cannot refute that. And knowing who God is and knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And so we want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins and be added to His church and continue in that fellowship of that church as they did on that day.